The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, we move to this news about the new study by the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, which shows that over €37 million is being wasted annually due to medicines being left unused and going out of date. The waste we're talking about is generated both by patients and pharmacies. So what should we do with all of this unwanted medicine? I'm joined by Dr. Aisling O'Leary, who's a senior lecturer in pharmacy practice from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Aisling, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much for coming in.
So can you explain to me, I tried to do it a little bit there, but perhaps in more detail, what do we mean by wasted medicines or unused medicines?
Wasted medicines are medicines that are prescribed or dispensed and then not used. Okay, so it's across all of the life cycle. It's just not generated from pharmacies or pharmacists dispensing or patients. It's across the life cycle downstream, I would say. So this is the fact that people are prescribed medication, they don't take them perhaps, or there might be repeat prescriptions that people get that they may not need. There's a variety of sources for the medicines waste, but it all comes down to the fact that these have an implication in terms of having to be disposed, but also financial implication. These are this waste of economic resources and things like that. So it's a question of actually addressing the issue, mm-hmm. I think.
And there'll be people listening to this going, what am I supposed to do with the medicines?
Now, that is the problem. There's a lot of contradictory, lots of information out there, but from various different sources. And it's not pulled together in one particular place that is accessible to everybody that uses medicines, dispenses medicines, prescribes medicines. So that therefore, there's a lacuna, really, for people. And I suppose I just want to add to that is that we're not unique in this in Ireland at all. This is a huge problem worldwide, especially in developed countries where we're using an awful lot more and more meds. And even that was highlighted last year at a big convention in Brussels. And they called for action on this because medicines that are not used or actually have to be disposed of. And then they're an environmental concern if they go into the landfill or indeed into water systems. And then they potentially are then brought back into human beings by
We don't want
water.
That to happen.
No,
but
no,
it
no.
does happen, doesn't
of
it?
Of course it does. It's been
medicines.
Identified in a study in DCU. Dylan O'Flynn did it a couple of years ago. And indeed, around the world, Sharon Flager in Scotland has done an awful lot of work on this. So that we have the residues of medicines, we've identified them. Whether they have direct human health impacts is something that needs more work on. But certainly if there's something, even tiny amounts of this, you know, the oral contraceptive pill, metformin for type 2 diabetes and loads of other ones, they may have implications because they're persistent. They might be bioaccumulative and potentially toxic.
Were you surprised at the figure, the €37 million annually?
I wasn't, probably. I've known for a long time, I'm a pharmacist for many years. It's just now, remember, we have to put that figure in context. This was a very small study done in 4 community pharmacy shops by our students, to whom I'm very grateful to actually gathering the data and the pharmacies involved. And then we extrapolated from the quantity, you know, the mean over the 4 weeks and then to an annual figure for each pharmacy. And then we just did a calculation on the total number of pharmacies in Ireland. We need an awful lot more research to determine what the true extent of the problem is. Mm-hmm. We also need more clarity on it so that, for instance, prescribers can see what happens to medicines that are not being used, that they have prescribed and actually haven't been taken by patients. What is the impact of that? Are they getting exacerbations of their illnesses? Are they being admitted to hospitals? So there are various different
lots of different implications. Mm-hmm. I have a message here from a listener regarding long-term medicines. When my dad died, we just received a delivery of incontinence pads and concentrated drinks. I asked our local HSE provider to take them back, but they wouldn't, even though they were unopened. Eventually, a local nursing home accepted them. And the listener says it's a crazy system, no doubt a familiar one in many households with elderly parents, etc.
Yeah.
And this is a particular problem end of life, isn't it?
It's a particular problem at end of life. But I think what that story shows is that it's not the end of life medicines. It's the accrual over many years or months. Somebody who is dying for a long period of time may actually have, you know, various different medications, dose escalation for pain control or whatever it may be. But other people may have not been taking medicines for years and then hoarding them and stockpiling them. And then they're a danger to others, an unintended user that might actually take them. Mm-hmm. So it is a problem. That's where the lack of clarity and guidance. How do we take back stuff that is unopened, absolutely perfectly used? Now, there's unused, should I say. There's a particular issue with taking back medicines. There is no conduit for that. We have legislation that doesn't allow it. But there are Innovative ways that are being explored in other countries, such as the Netherlands.
We'll talk about that in a moment. But some community pharmacies in Ireland will take medicines back, won't they?
And that's purely, they fund that themselves. It's purely discretionary. So therefore, there are pharmacies that will take back the medicines that they have dispensed themselves, perhaps to patients, but there are others that may not do so. I'm not sure of the extent of the problem. I don't want to blame pharmacies, like the onus is on them. However, if there was a funded take back scheme, you know, recognised and that they could actually access, that would be far better, far safer as well.
Now, tell us about the Netherlands. How do they do it?
OK, so, well, they actually had to change the legislation. This is Caroline Becker's work up there. Now, this was with oral anti-cancer medicines in particular, because it's high cost. So they didn't want these going out of date. So they actually had a change in the legislation. They took back medicines, calculated the cost savings as a result of that, and it was quite significant. So there are more calls for those kind of things, pragmatic, perhaps sensible, without compromising patient care in any way at all in the quality of medicines that has actually been dispensed. We have to be very, very careful. I know we can't take back stuff that went into homes, perhaps stored inappropriately, but there has to be some kind of a sensible
approach. We'll all be giving out now if we don't get our full prescription, though. When we go, see, that's the problem, isn't it? Well, I have to go into that chemist twice or three times.
Well, the other thing about this is that there's another fantastic campaign in the UK where they have done it in many of the trusts now, and it's really getting traction. Only order what you need. So this is directly targeting patients. You know, if you go in, if you've got lots of meds, and, you know, we can have patients on 10, 12 meds, you know, you don't need everything. And then it's actually backed up in drawers or in cupboards or wherever it is.
Yeah, but when people don't know what to do, Aisling, I've loads of medicines no longer used, unopened. Yeah. My pharmacy won't take it back and I'm reluctant to put them in the bin. Yeah. We don't know what to tell you really to do with that, do we?
That's right. So that's why, and this is not unique to Ireland either. So they've actually called this at this meeting last year, they called in the European member states to actually create a platform that is easily accessible, that has clear guidance, that will give, you know, tell patients what to do, pharmacists what to do, you know, so that it's much easier and that they're not worried that they don't have room full of continence pads or incontinence pads, for instance, actually piling up. So we do need a little bit of help with that.
Another listener has a child who is tube fed and they changed the feeding formula. They tried to return 12 unopened boxes to the pharmacy and they said they had to be destroyed. You understand that, though, you're saying from the pharmacy's point of view as well.
Because we have a thing called FMD, Falsified Medicine Directive. If something actually is issued, there's a big issue with counterfeit medicines in the world and stuff. So we have to be cautious about allowing a conduit back in to the supply system.
You don't know what is. And again, as you said, you don't know how it has been stored.
No.
And you can't guarantee if you're handing it out to the next person the quality of that medicine.
No, but something like incontinence pads or tube feeding sets or nutritional products, there may be another way of doing it. And it's just being sensible about actually saying, well, look, what can we do? We just need people to sit around a table, perhaps, and just look at this.
So what you're saying is that some sort of a nationwide, national scheme led by the state really needs to be considered here.
Well, in fairness, the minister recently, and this was brought into the new IPU contract last September, I think, that they are going to fund a scheme that will not, you know, get rid of this discretionary, just the onus, that financial impact for pharmacies, which is a great, it's very welcome. It'll need underpinning stuff. It'll need the guidance to go with it. And it'll need lots of, you know, the pathways, all of these various things, not only medicines, but other things that are issued by pharmacies, be it in hospital or in community.
That are going to waste, ultimately.
And if we think about it, everything that is made has a carbon footprint because we need energy to make it. We have for medicine solvents that are, you know, all of these things. So they have a carbon footprint, an ecological footprint at the beginning of their lives and at end of life. So we need to look at it as a broad spectrum, cradle to grave, really, to make sure that people benefit from them. The other thing, of course, is that that money could be well spent elsewhere.
Of course. Of course, if we had the 37 million, what would we do with it? Well, now people will be answering that question as well on our WhatsApp number 087 1400 106. Aisling, thank you very much for coming in. You've certainly given us plenty to think about there. That's Dr. Aisling O'Leary.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.